Welcome back, or welcome to hour number two of Garden Talk live at KSRO. I'm Steve Garner, along with Gwen Kilcher, celebrating 32 years in the greenhouse here in Northern California. You can reach us anytime during this hour simply by calling 636-1350. I know that's kind of an old, antiquated way of communicating, but it works great. Actually, much better than email, because you can instantaneously do follow-up questions and pick up nuances in a conversation that oftentimes elude the ability of email to communicate certain subtleties, especially question and answer. Mm-hmm. Even better is shooting us a photo of a plant that maybe is in distress or you'd like identified. Simply do that. Steve@KSRO.com. You can also include a question and we can really get to your question and answer. No one on hold at this Memorial Day weekend, Saturday morning, 636-1350. Nobody on hold. Get in right away and chat with Gwen. At 11:05, Chef John Ash in the KSRO kitchen. So we had a question, was it last week or the week
last
before,
week.
About what about
mm-hmm.
blueberries, wasn't it?
Yeah, Kevin was asking me what varieties would be best to grow here. And I told him what I would grow, what's doing really well. And so I looked at them the other day, and a few of them are already turning blue. And so the most productive plants I have so far are the blue crop variety, and that is the one that you find most in commercially grown.
And that's not even one that's really recommended in gardening books. I looked through them this morning and no one mentioned blue crop.
Oh, you don't believe everything you read.
That's right. That's why you need to listen to this show.
Yeah. But blue crop is amazing. I mean, these two plants that I have are just full of blueberries.
That came up over and over was Misty.
That's the third on my list.
Oh, okay. And the other one was Sharp Blue.
Nope.
No, not on your list.
Patriot. I have two, maybe four of those plants, and those are also full. So blue crop's going to come on first, and then followed by, or almost with Patriot, and then there's Misty coming along, and then I have Sunshine Blue, and dang, I forgot the others. Two more varieties, but I think those other two varieties, I'm not too happy with them, so I think I'll get more of blue crop and Patriot. Misty's really good, but the blueberries are small, and I don't like those, you know, really small berries. I like the bigger ones, which is blue crop and Patriot.
Okay, so look for those two. And Misty is the third one.
Yeah.
But a little smaller.
Yeah. And the leaves turn a beautiful red color in the fall.
Are they in the ground or in containers?
They're in half wine barrels.
So they do fine in containers.
Yeah. I keep adding a little bit of fir mulch to them. I haven't had to fertilize them yet. And yeah, so far so good. And I have two plants in each wine barrel.
And they get about 3-4 feet tall?
Yeah. Yeah, they're not that big because there's two of them, so they're competing for space and soil and food and water.
And they got them in full sun?
No.
Oh, no.
I have filtered sun underneath a big oak tree, so they get just enough sun to get full of berries. And so if you get too much shade, you won't get enough berries, and too much sun, depending on where you live, the leaves can start getting scorched looking, and then sometimes the berries get a little bit burned and start shriveling.
So you do you said you actually fertilize those?
I haven't yet, no.
Oh,
I just keep adding a little bit of fir mulch. Remember, and I even threw in a little bit of ground coffee that I call coffee grinds.
Because I know you usually don't fertilize almost anything in your garden, do you?
No, but when you have things in containers, you need to watch them, and you know they will run out of nutrients at some point, but if you keep adding a lot of compost to your soil, then you shouldn't really have to be fertilizing. But it depends on the plant. It depends on how much you water, and it depends on, you know, how big of an eater those plants are, whether they, you know, take up a lot of nutrients or whether they're fast growers, slow growers. So you just look at your plants and see how they're doing. If they're green and growing and healthy, then they're getting enough from the soil. But just keep adding a little bit of compost. But be careful not to add too much where you're going to cover up the stems of your plants.
Okay.
And then they start rotting on you, and then you have a dead plant. So just a little bit.
Do you prune them at all?
Yes, I do.
You do prune?
I do.
Okay.
And you don't prune the tips because that's where all your fruit comes. You have to prune off any little crisscrossing branches or any thin spaghetti-looking things coming up. And eventually they will have too many shoots, you know, branches coming out, and you will have to do some selective pruning and take out you know, the older spindly things, keep an eye on which branches are producing and which ones have stopped producing. And then you can prune wisely.
Okay. And the top three blueberry plants, I want everybody to say them now together. Blue Crop.
Patriot.
That's right. Patriot and Misty. Those were Gwen's three. And you also...
Top producers.
You said Sunshine Blue.
That's okay.
It's okay. But those top three, you can't go wrong with those three.
And I have another one that begins with an L. Legend, maybe? Legacy? Something? I can't remember.
Write it down.
I should have written it down.
Okay. But those three, hey, if you get a combination of those three, mm-hmm. you're going to be in production for years.
Mm-hmm.
Is that right?
And you might hear people talk about needing cross-pollination and whatnot going on. So if you have a few different varieties of blueberries and they all bloom pretty much, you know, they're all, like, say, early season, mid-season mm-hmm. Producers, then they'll cross-pollinate. You know, maybe the bees will come along. But if you have one or two of the same varieties, you'll still get a lot of blueberries.
Mitch may have a solution for our beetle problem. Welcome to Garden Talk Live at KSRO. Good morning, Mitch. Is Mitch there? Let's find out. Mitch, are you got you there? Hello? Oh, wait a second. I think we've got Mitch right here. Mitch.
Hello.
Guy, good
morning. Hey, wait. But before we talk to you, you promised me some okra seeds. I don't see any here.
Oh, you know what? I fell off my turnip truck and hit my head.
Yeah, sure he did. Well, that makes two of us.
I will make sure that I get some tea. You don't go to the office except for on Saturdays,
yeah,
right?
Yeah,
right.
But you could drop them off anytime, and we'll give them to it. We'll give them to you. Just drop them off anytime, Monday through Friday.
Well, I'll make sure you get them. But I had one little thought. I lived with a Japanese family in Southern California long ago in days of old, and he grew a lot of strawberries and had a similar situation. And I know that this works for the most infamous bug in restaurants. And believe it or not, it's diatomaceous earth.
I thought about that. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Because it can scratch the exoskeleton of the cockroaches, which causes them to dehydrate. And this wonderful Japanese guy used the same thing in his strawberries. He didn't dust them with it, but he put it all around them, and it seemed to assist, if not eliminate.
I was thinking about that, but then I thought, well, the strawberry patches, you know, the soil gets pretty wet, so the diatomaceous earth is going to get wet, mm-hmm. so it would be ineffective. But if Linda wants to try that, it couldn't hurt. I mean, maybe not water the plants for a while and keep that diatomaceous earth dry. That's an excellent idea, Mitch.
Excellent. Thank you, Mitch.
Well, I'm listening to you guys for all these years. I've actually learned a few things.
Well, same here.
As we learn a lot from our listeners. Thank you for that suggestion. That's really great.
Thanks, Mitch.
I'll drop the seeds off for you, Gwen.
Whenever. You have plenty
thank
of time.
You.
Thanks.
Thank
have
you.
A good Memorial Day weekend, Mitch. Diatomaceous earth. We sometimes forget about that. But you're right. Once it becomes wet, it loses its effectiveness.
Yeah, because I was thinking, what would I put on my strawberry plants? And I've got the drip lines, you know, the T-tapes on everybody. And that soil just really gets nice and wet all over. And the diatomaceous earth would get wet. And, you know, as it sucks up the moisture.
It's KSRO. It's Garden Talk. More after this.
Sonoma County's FM News Talk at 103.5 and 94.5. KSRO, depend on it.
This is George Adair with Cross Country Mortgage. If you're in the market to buy a home, this message is for you. My team and I are experts at providing hands-on assistance to getting your home financing done fast and with confidence. In fact, we're closing purchase loans in as fast as 10 days on many of the programs we offer. The best part is our pre-approved buyers don't need a loan contingency in making their offer. That makes buyers look as good as cash. If you're applying for a home loan at your bank, ask them if they can close in 10 days with no loan contingency. I promise they can't. When you're buying a home, speed to close and a true loan approval are necessary to win the offer. How do we do it? Cross Country is a direct lender with amazing technology, experience, and a local presence. Our process is proven to help buyers win in this competitive housing market. If you're ready for a great lending experience, call 707-583-8100. That's 707-583-8100. Or visit georgiadare.com. That's georgiadare.com.
Cross Country Mortgage, NMLS ID 2039, and George Adair, NMLS ID 245370. Equal housing lender, subject to credit approval.
It's the biggest furniture sale of the year. Old Town Furniture and Furniture Depot's 39th annual Memorial Day weekend sale. Hi, it's Anthony. If you're looking for new furniture, come in this weekend. You'll save 39% on everything you need for your home. Old Town Furniture and Furniture Depot have taken 39% off dining tables, hutches, and buffets, sofas, recliners, coffee tables, and TV consoles, beds, dressers, nightstands, and mirrors, desks, bookcases, and filing cabinets, lamps, clocks, artwork, and signs. Get the picture? Just about everything throughout both stores is 39% off. You'll save even more on one-of-a-kind and discontinued items. Plus, take an additional 5% off if you pay with cash or check. Need new furniture? Don't walk. Run to Old Town Furniture and Furniture Depot's 39th annual Memorial Day weekend sale. Going on now through Monday only at the corner of 4th and Wilson in Santa Rosa's historic Railroad Square.
You can find the best deals in Sonoma County only on MySonomaDeals.com. Enjoy dining, family fun, health, and beauty, and more for just half the price. The deals are always changing in a limited quantity, so make sure to check often so you don't miss out on these amazing deals. Savings and fun, all wrapped into one, only at MySonomaDeals.com. That's MySonomaDeals.com.
The family at Egan and Lance Chapel and Fred Young Funeral Home remember the heroes who have died in the line of duty serving our great country. All of us at Egan and Lance Chapel and Fred Young Funeral Home celebrate, remember, and honor you this Memorial Day weekend.
KSRO, AM, FM, and online. Depend on it.
You're listening to Garden Talk live at KSRO. Steve Garner along with Gwen Kilcher. Hi, guys. About a month or two ago, I purchased several dahlia bulbs from the Petaluma folks. That would be Aztec Dahlias down in Petaluma. I heard about it on your program. They are now breaking ground, and the foliage looks healthy. But my question is it time to feed them or fertilize them? I'm wondering.
Well, when you planted your dahlias, hopefully you planted them with a little bit of amendment mixed into the soil, so that would have some fertilizer food for the dahlias. So you shouldn't need to feed them now. If they're coming up and they're looking green, the foliage looks great, everything is fine, then don't worry about feeding them. You might want to later on in the year when they have the first few flowers have finished and they're dying off and you cut them back. Maybe you could put some compost material on top of the soil, any organic compost, and don't cover up around the plants, but just keep a few inches away from them. And as you water that, that will break down and add some goodies to the soil. So hopefully you won't have to fertilize your dahlias. But I know Aztec Dahlias is having some open house coming up in June.
June 8th and 9th. This is the perfect question for the Aztec Dahlia folks. You can also email them. I don't know how long it might take to get back to them. But certainly swing by their open house. They don't have these very often, just a few times a year. And that's right at Adobe Canyon Road in Petaluma, right on the corner.
No.
Yeah.
Isn't it? Washington and Petaluma Hill Road?
No, Adobe Canyon Road.
That's Adobe Canyon. Adobe Road.
Adobe Road.
And East Washington.
That's it. Right at the corner.
Right
and
there,
the open house is the weekend of June 8th and 9th. So that would be a good time, Ernesto, to swing by and ask them if you are unable to get an email response from them.
Yeah, see what they use for fertilizing. Jim Lang, Master Gardener Jim Lang, who gives the talks for the Master Gardener Library Series. Keep an eye out in the newspaper for when he gives his talks about the care and growing of dahlias. So there's lots of, you talk to lots of people, you'll get lots of ways, ideas and things to do for your dahlias. But the main thing is that if they're growing and they're healthy and they look good, they're obviously getting enough nutrients from the soil. They don't need anything additional, but they have spent a lot of energy producing these flowers. So when you cut them back, after that, that would be a good time if you needed to add any fertilizer, would be then.
And you're right, it is Washington Street, East Washington, 2478 East Washington is the actual address for Aztec Dahlias in Petaluma.
Okay.
Thanks for that. Couple, was it last week or the week before where someone was asking about the difference between early and intermediate and late onions, all the different varieties of onions, which ones to plant and which ones they might have.
That was Rhonda? Mm-hmm. Rhonda, who had a problem with her red onions that were bolting, and I was saying that you need to have the right varieties growing in the right areas. So I was right about the short day, long day, and intermediate varieties that are available. And we're in this intermediate zone. So they, you know, most of the onion growers have a map of the United States, and from west to east or east to west, going horizontally, you have the top half, top third of the United States would be the short day varieties that do well, and the middle of the United States would be the intermediate varieties, and that includes us. And then the bottom third of the United States is the long day, short day. Ah, why do I always mess this up? Long day. No, short day on the bottom part of the United States. So short day goes with the southern part of the United States, S and S. And then the northern part of the United States is the long, long days. So we are in the intermediate part because we're right in the middle. And there's lots of varieties that do well here. But if you're growing one of the wrong ones, then the weather is not conducive and the length of the daylight is not conducive to particular varieties. So that's what I kept wanting to say last week, was short day for the south, long days for the north, and where, so you find a variety that's intermediate, and even the short day varieties would do well.
Okay.
But so there you have it.
All right. So Ernesto did a follow-up question. He was wondering whether he should water his dahlias also. Again,
stick your fingers down in the soil, and if they're damp, then don't water, because if you put the compost on top of the soil, that's going to hold water in for a longer length of time, and you don't want to overwater them because you'll get rotten tubers in no time. And if you let them dry out, then of course the foliage is going to start to dry out and the flowers won't be as productive. So watering is pretty important to keep dahlias healthy and growing and looking good. So stick your fingers down into the soil or get a little trowel and, you know, keep them damp, but don't keep them too wet or let them dry out.
Okay. We promised you about an hour and 15 minutes ago we were going to discuss maybe the greatest, but possibly one of the best gopher traps that I didn't know about. We've always talked about the Maccabee and many others that have certainly downfalls and pitfalls to setting them and getting them out and disposing them. And
The cinch trap has been
number one. We've been talking gopher traps for over 30 years. But there's a new one that I was not familiar with, and you just, I think, learned about recently, Gwen, that some folks that you really, really trust are saying this might be the one. Tell us about it.
Well, it's too bad that I keep talking about Master Gardener Jim Lang all the time, but it's not that I have any favoritism towards him or anything, but I sure learn a lot from him, and he's the one that told me about this gopher trap called Gopher Hawk.
H-A-W-K, one word, Gopher Hawk.
Gopher Hawk.
All right.
Yeah, and his neighbor somehow.
And it works on moles, too, moles and gophers.
Yeah, his neighbor was mentioning it to Jim, and he went out and bought a few, and his neighbor came back and told Jim that he caught 8 gophers in one day. So I don't know how many traps he had, 2 or 4 or something. Mm-hmm. So, of course, Jim had to go out and buy some, and he caught quite a few gophers in a short amount of time. So because he is successful, then I have to have what he has. So we went out and bought the Gopher Hawk, and it looks like a big torpedo thing. And it's very, very easy to use.
It has a long probe.
It has a probe that you dig, you know, dig the mound or dig a hole. You poke around and you find the tunnel and you dig a hole there and you stick this thing down in there and you set it. And 1, 2, 3, you'll have your gophers sooner than later. You don't have to deal with those nasty, you know, pincher wire things that stabs the gopher. You know, and it's hard to set those cinch traps.
Yes.
And you have to dig a big hole and set it in there correctly. And you on and on.
So you dig up the sprung trap with a shovel and then dispose of it, basically.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
That's what you do. Now, you mentioned that you have to be careful when inserting this probe because it is plastic, is it not?
The wires that stab the gopher can bend easily if you push it down into hard soil. And right on the top of the thing, it says, do not press down. So if you follow the directions, 1, 2, 3, easy.
Well, if you have really hard soil, then you would probably, it'd be best to use an auger, some type of auger drill to break through hard soil.
You're going to be digging in the ground anyway. But when you set the trap in there, you don't want to push it down
further.
Just follow the directions.
Maybe some of our listeners have had some experience with this and can share their experiences with us this morning on the show about the gopher hawk.
And you know what Jim did? He showed me when you are setting the trap for moles, they don't go as deep as, they tunnel along the ground. Mm-hmm. So you don't have to push this trap down as far as you do for the gophers. So he got a milk crate. It's like a 1x1, you know, plastic milk crate. And he drilled a hole, a nice size hole, probably a little bit bigger than the size of a golf ball, bigger than the width of that gopher trap. And you can set it down through that milk crate, and that milk crate holds the thing up straight. So, because if you don't have it, since you don't push it down far enough into the soil when you're going after moles, it'll easily fall over. And there you go. So he came up with this great idea, which he should sell to this company and make money. Yeah, so it holds the thing upright and gets the moles that way.
Very clever name, Gopher Hawk. We know that gophers are the preferred snack for hawks.
Yeah.
So it's very clever.
It's so much easier to use than those dang cinch traps that we've been using all these years.
So there it is. Anybody that's had experience, give us a call. I mean, you could certainly go online and read testimonials, but we always like to hear from our local listeners.
Yeah. Thanks, Jim, for the info.
And it runs about $25 to $32.
Yeah, that's right.
So very affordable. Of course, if you got a big bunch of property, you're going to want the number of these. So it could add up. But if it's effective, that would be very, very encouraging. Mm-hmm. Okay, 636-1350 if you want to reach us, or steve@ksro.com. No one on hold, no one online at this moment, so plenty of time to get in and chat gardening this morning.
Join the switch to crystal clear KSRO FM, 103.5 Santa Rosa, Windsor, 94.5 Petaluma. Hear the difference.
Come to the Santa Rosa Original Certified Farmers Market, voted best farmers market. Find a wide selection of garden starts, Savor Farm fresh eggs and produce like fresh strawberries, avocados, and asparagus. Enjoy farm-to-table almonds, walnuts, and healthy salad greens. Discover quality beef, pork, fresh seafood, and freshly made sausages. Multiple food vendors are serving up an excellent breakfast and lunch using farm fresh products. Minhee's Korean Cuisine, The Green Grocer, Mi Fiesta's Fresh Tamales, and a whole lot more. Santa Rosa's original farmers market at the Luther Burbank Center for the Arts is open year-round Wednesdays and Saturdays, 8:30 a.m. to 1 p.m. Thank you, Sonoma County, for voting them number one. The Santa Rosa Original Certified Farmers Market, where it's always fresh, local, and fun.
The North Bay's most innovative makerspace.
What we do here is provide public access to professional-grade equipment.
Having a vision.
We have a lot to offer. Classes, meetups, a great community of folks all doing creative projects.
At 180 Studios in Santa Rosa, if you need it, they have it.
Classroom space, digital fab lab, which includes laser cutter, 3D printer, 3D scanner, and vinyl cutter. We have a computer lab to output to all the various CNC machines. We have an electronics lab, a machine shop, a full wood shop, and welding studio.
Imagine what you can create.
A couple different robotics teams come through. We've had an overland vehicle get developed, rockets, we've had go-karts, cutting boards, you name it.
Industry, art, and education. 180 Studios, a makerspace on Todd Road and 180studios.org.
We're 180 Studios, and we have space for you.
Yeah.
with Sonoma County's most accurate, most dependable forecast. Here's Daniel Trucios on the KSRO Weather Watch.
Clouds and sunshine continue for the weekend. High 71 today, 61 on the coast. Few clouds tonight, low 48, 50 on the shores. Tomorrow, mix of clouds and sunshine, possibly some morning showers. High 63, 56 in Bodega Bay. And then for Monday, few more clouds at 67, 59 on the coastline. Depend on weather every 30 minutes on FM News Talk 103.5 and 94.5 KSRO.
A couple of listeners asked us to repeat that Aztec Dahlia sale time. The Aztec Dahlia sales is June 8th and 9th, 10 a.m. to 4 p.m., and that's at 2478 East Washington Street in Petaluma. Okay, and they only do this a couple times a year or so to open the fields for folks to come in and get dahlia. So, and also ask questions about dahlia. So there it is. How are your long-fingered gloves doing, Gwen? You searched for years. You finally... Well, actually, a friend of yours finally found long-fingered gloves. You were going to give them a run-through and see whether your fingers poked through the ends of them, whether you develop calluses and strain in your hands. How are they working for you?
They're excellent. I can't believe it, but they are excellent. Fingertips aren't sore anymore, so I'm just like gardening in joy.
This is amazing. Something that has plagued you your whole life, basically.
Forever and a day.
You were born with long fingers, abnormally long fingers.
No, not abnormally. I'm sure there are other people that have the same issue, but nobody really
addresses that.
Or maybe nobody keeps their garden gloves on as long as I do. Maybe, you know, you work in the garden for a short time, they take the gloves off. But, you know, maybe my gloves are on for a long time. But boy, it's so nice to not have my fingertips hurting me, let me tell you. So they're excellent. Thank
you,
Gary.
This is what we like to hear. 636-1350, if you'd like a word with us on Garden Talk Live, simple as that, or Steve at KSRO.com, of course. Welcome to the show from Petaluma. Jillian, hi, what can we do for you today?
Good morning, guys, and happy Memorial Day weekend.
Thank you.
I have just a random but very important question. We are curious about the origin of the song that you guys have played for years to open up the show and throughout. How was it chosen and why?
Well, the song is called I Like Plants. It, since we've played it 10,000 times, people know that. And the why we chose that was because we were at a remote 23 years ago in 1996 at a place called Grab and Grow. You know about Grab and Grow?
I do.
Okay, out on Llano Road. And we had a special performance that day for the opening of Grab and Grow by the Occidental Community Choir. And they came out to Grab and Grow, and they said, we want to debut a song live on the air that was written by our choir director. Her name was, I love this name, Rita Rue. It was spelled R-E-E-T-A. Rita Rue wrote this song called I Like Plants. And they sang this, and everyone was just knocked out by it. And I said, I love this song so much. Would you mind if we use this for our Garden Talk theme show? And she said, of course not. We'd be honored. So ever since then, we have used that song. And I know it appeared on at least one of their CDs. I don't know which one, but they did record it for the CD version. If you look through Occidental Community Choir, you may be able to locate it. But that's why we use that song. And no one has suggested we change it over 23 years. So we're just going to keep on using it because we love the message.
It's a great story. I sing along to it all the time, much to my husband's chagrin. But
yeah, only one person complained to us and said, I can't get the song out of my head. I hear it, and then the rest of the day, it's, I like plants, you know, they're singing it. But that was the only complaint we ever had about the song.
Yes. Oh, that's a good story. I was always wondering what the deal was, how that was chosen, and So now I know, and the rest of us know. So that was a live performance?
Yeah, that was actually the live performance from 1996. And it is, that was not the studio version. That was the live performance.
Wonderful. Okay.
So now you know a bit of trivia, Garden Talk trivia, Jillian.
That's right. Well, thanks for the info, and I'm loving the show. Keep doing what you're doing. We all love it.
Thank you. It was wonderful to hear from you. Thank you for those kind words. Yes, that's, I assume, of course, everybody knows the story, but maybe people have not been listening for a quarter of a century to the show. Yeah. So that's why, and we still have a great affection for the Occidental Community Choir for recording that song. Mm-hmm. And I have to do this. You know, I will have to, I'm thinking out loud here. They also recorded a song that they wanted us to play. And I should find this. I think we have it in our audio file somewhere. The Hay Fever song. Have you ever heard that one, Gwen?
No.
Oh, it's a wonderful song, and it addresses all the afflictions and all the plants that contribute to our hay fever woes here in Sonoma County. I'm going to find that song. Of course, this is the time to be playing this song, isn't it?
Yeah.
So I'm going to look for the hay fever song.
Okay.
I don't know whether it's called actually the hay fever song, but I'll be able to track it down.
Put that on your list of things to do.
Okay.
I'm writing it down for you, Steve.
Okay. Thank you, Gwen, because you know me. Right after the show, I'll forget that I'm supposed to follow up on this. So thank you for keeping me honest.
Okay. Your words, not mine.
Okay. What else in your garden do you want to talk about besides your long-fingered glove success? Anything else you're doing that we should know about as far as planting, fertilizing? Have you got your peppers in? Are your tomatoes all planted? Is your corn in yet, Gwen? Where are you in the planting process?
The corn, unfortunately, thanks to the weather, I couldn't get it in the ground soon enough. So they're in those little jumbo six packs, and they got to be like over a foot tall, and they started to turn a pale green. So once they start to do that, they're running out of steam, and I know if I planted them, they won't recover, and I'll get dwarfed plants with dwarfed corn. So I gave those all to the chickens, so now I have to start all over again.
You're going to start over?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I'll start seeding again.
Those weren't viable. The chickens eat them.
Yeah, they eat up all the leaves. They're
and
fine.
What about your sunflowers? So,
I don't see anybody coming up in front yet. They're not popping up. And I didn't sow the seeds of the colored flowered varieties that I want to plant. But, yeah, I'm wondering why they haven't popped up yet.
Birds wouldn't have dug down and eaten them, would they?
No, because there's thousands of them that come up. So, but this year...
Maybe it's been too cool. It's been awfully cool.
Or too much rain.
Too much rain.
And they might have rotted. But I'm not going to worry because I have lots of varieties to sow again. So I'll do that. But you know what I do want to tell people is that now that the soil is nice and wet, get some compost, mulch out on top of the ground and cover up your bare soil under your fruit trees and around your perennials and things. And, you know, cover up as much soil as you can. And especially where you're walking, if you have walkways and your pathways through your vegetable garden, you know, put a lot of compost mulch on top of the soil so you have a nice cushion when you walk, and that'll flatten down and that'll all decompose after time and add nutrients to the soil. So take advantage of the ground being wet now so you can put the mulch on top, and that will help hold that water in the soil longer so you won't have to water.
Not too late to plant tomato plants. We just put in our green beans just this week, Kentucky Wonder and Blue Lake.
This is only May 25th. Yeah, we have plenty of time. I didn't get my beans in, or carrots, beets, cucumbers. There's a lot that I will be planting this weekend, so I have the time. I'm going to get it done. But, you know, and the roses, you know, a lot of my roses got hit with the rain, so the ones that were open, so they are all flopping over, and they are brown with little pink spots on them. And I had a few people asking me, what's wrong with their roses? What bug was attacking them? That's just rain damage. So you see those little pink spots on your roses, and then petals are starting to turn brown. I mean, they could have been looking good a little bit longer, but because of the rain. So go ahead and do some early deadheading, get rid of those, and make room for new roses to come up. And as long as your plants are looking green and healthy and everything's good, then no fertilizing, no nothing. Just put mulch around the plants and leave it at that.
We'll take a break. We'll be right back. 636-1350. Still have about 15 minutes to chat with Gwen. She writes the popular Plant Doctor column in the Press Democrat with Dana Lozano. Their column has appeared for over 25 years, the first and third Saturdays of every month in our local Press Democrat newspaper. But you can reach Gwen live Saturday mornings, every Saturday morning from 9 to 11, to really track your progress in the garden and not have to wait for, obviously, a reply through the newspaper. You can get instantaneous answers now simply by giving us a call. No one on hold at this moment, 636-1350. Or you can shoot us an email anytime. The screen's right in front of us at the greenhouse, steve@ksro.com.
Thompson, throw ahead, KD.
I have nothing to do with the Knicks.
One step and a right hand dunk for Durant and a timeout.
KSRO.
Michael O'Shea, president of KSRO here, speaking up for my all-time favorite home of flowers and plants, indoor and outdoor, that being King's Nursery in Santa Rosa, one of the truly great gifts to our local community. I just read where 95% of King's plants are grown locally. Do you think after 123 years they've learned a few things about flowers, plants, and veggies that grow right here in Sonoma County? Well, you bet they have. And they've been rewarded by being voted the best nursery in the county for years in a row now. I want to put in a few good words about King's staff. I've personally shopped there maybe 20 times in the past few years, and I've learned more and been served so well by their amazing crew of plant people who know what they're talking about and are happy to teach you. All you need to do is just ask. King's Nursery, corner of 13th and Stewart, Santa Rosa, just off college in the heart of the city. Family owned since 1896. Learn more at kingsflowernursery.com. This may sound a bit geeky, but one of my favorite pastimes is to just wander the grounds at King's Nursery in Santa Rosa.
Here's a message from the Marin-Sonoma Mosquito and Vector Control District.
Tick-borne diseases are preventable. Use an effective repellent and wear long pants and long-sleeve shirts when outdoors. Don't forget to check yourself, your family, and pets for ticks after outdoor activities.
Are you having a problem with rodents getting inside your home and don't know what to do? The Marin-Sonoma Mosquito and Vector Control District offers free advice and home inspections.
Go to msmosquito.com for more info.
Ace is the place with the helpful hardware, folks.
It's the Memorial Day sale at Ace. Right now, get great deals like buy one, get one 50% off on gallons of our top paint brands like Valspar and Clark and Kensington. And with our Ace Extra Mile promise, we'll help you get everything you need to paint in one trip or deliveries free. Don't miss the Memorial Day sale at Ace. Buy one, get one 50% off our top paint brands now through Monday. Limit 2. Delivery subject to availability. Visit acehardware.com for details.
Win a Toyota Tacoma, cash, and more this month at Grayton. Play to enter the Tacomas in Cash giveaway on May 31st. Plus, Multiplier Wednesdays, get up to 7 times the points. Thursdays, turn points into slot play and win up to 10,000 cash in the wild winning slot tournaments. Sign up for Grayton Rewards and get up to $500 in free play. Learn more at GraytonResortCasino.com. Complete rules available at the Rewards Center.
Lowe's knows you'll do it right to refresh your home, indoors and out. We do it right, too, with savings during our Memorial Day sale. Like $15 off gallon cans and $45 off 5-gallon pails via Lowe's gift card rebate when you buy select interior and exterior paint and stain. Get top-selling Valspar paint starting as low as $4.98 after rebate. And load up on appliance savings with a Whirlpool laundry pair for just $858. Do it right for less. Start with Lowe's. Offers valid through 5/29. U.S. only. See store for details.
It's Garden Talk. It's live, as always, at KSRO News Talk Radio in Santa Rosa, California. So what kind of family-friendly Memorial Day weekend activity do you have planned for in the Kilcher family? Anything unique, unusual, besides just firing up the grill? Going to fire up anything else?
Well, since you said fire, you know what? Well, my husband's actually going to do it, not me, but we're going to get out the blowtorch.
What?
We bought this long-handled blowtorch. Use one of those small, I guess it's a propane.
Propane torch?
Torch. Yeah, a propane torch.
Yeah.
Not one where you have to bend down and
it's got a long wand.
It's a long wand. Yeah. I'm not sure how to use it or anything, but that's Walter's job. I'll just stay far away. We have a big patch of thistle that's coming up in the horse pasture, and I'm not about to decapitate those or anything because they have those gnarly thorns on them, little needle things and stuff, and they're growing pretty quickly. So he's going to get out there and just blowtorch them and hopefully get rid of them.
Never used the you've never used the blowtorch on
it.
The,
no, we just got it the other day.
That's very exciting.
Oh, yeah.
Do you know what brand it is offhand?
No.
We'll find out for next week or so we can let our listeners know and get feedback from
I'll let you know how
from
it goes.
The mister and see what he thinks.
Yeah.
Caveats, be careful about this, or it worked really great. Or
And being that it's still wet out, and it's out in my horse pasture where there's just, you know, oak trees, there's nothing around there that could catch on fire, so we're pretty safe to use it in that area. So, yeah, I'm excited to see what this thing does to these thistles. Because there was one plant out there last year, and it made probably 100 plants this year. All babies popped up from seed.
And after he gets through dealing with the weeds, he can use it to light the briquettes for your for your cookout.
We have a gas Weber.
So yeah. what other annuals can we plant now to add some color, or perennials? What would you suggest out there that we look for in the nursery?
Well, if you start from the beginning of the alphabet, alyssum is always pretty. Comes in different colors. Ageratum makes nice little cut flowers that you can bring indoors. The begonias. There's the fibrous begonias and tuberous begonias, ABC, cosmos, let's see, what else is there? Marigolds, there's a ton of different marigolds to choose from. Zinnias are one of my favorites. And what else?
You forgot nasturtiums.
Oh, nasturtiums, of course. Of course, there are a lot
Everyone
of varieties.
Everyone forgets nasturtiums.
You know, there are so many compact varieties now instead of the trailing ones that sometimes they get out of control and they're growing where you don't want them. Look for the compact varieties.
Okay.
And sunflowers. Don't forget the sunflowers. And then as far as perennials, you've got hollyhocks and delphiniums. You definitely don't want to plant Mexican sunflowers John Ash is telling me. Mexican sunflowers, that's another annual.
Oh, that's
very
too.
Pretty. There's a yellow flowering one and a orangey, scarlety looking one. Both very beautiful, and the butterflies love those things.
And butterfly bush.
Well, that's a big shrub.
We're talking
little perennials and things. Diasia. D as in dog, I-A-S-C-I-A, I think it is, Diasia. I forgot the common name, twin spur or twin something, but that's a nice little compact, full of flowers, little plant that looks really well in containers. The hummingbirds like those things. A million bells, that's another perennial, comes in 100 different flower colors. There's so many perennials. You go to your favorite nursery and there's basically a whole nursery to choose from.
Marvelous.
Some pretty things.
So lots of color to brighten up the Memorial Day weekend garden beds.
And this is a good time to plant them.
We'll take a break. We'll come back. We still have 5-6 minutes left or so. Plenty of time to get in with a question or comment for Gwen Kilcher. Live Garden Talk at KSRO this morning, 636-1350, or Steve at KSRO.com.
Windsor hears FM News Talk KSRO on Crystal Clear FM at 103.5.
Hello, this is Dr. Julie Sinyard, the Assistant Superintendent of the Cotati-Rohnert Park Unified School District. It is my great honor and privilege to congratulate Sonoma County's graduating students of the class of 2019. On behalf of the teachers, administrators, and staff of Cotati-Rohnert Park Unified, we wish all our graduates continued success and bright futures.
This is Louis Gansler, principal of Rancho Cotati High School. Our graduates will soon be attending colleges, universities, and career academies across the country.
Hi, I'm Donna Winnie, principal of Technology High School in Rohnert Park. Congratulations, class of 2019.
We are thankful for the incredible teachers, support staff, parents, and community members that have helped our students achieve their academic and personal goals while in our care. In Cotati-Rohnert Park, we are offering amazing academic and extracurricular programs that allow our students to challenge themselves and become prepared for college and career. Visit crpusd.org. Our vision is clear. All students are entitled to a successful education, our focus is learning, and we are a team.
Have a wonderful summer.
Breezy tank tops, Turkish bathrobes, stretchy pants, all comfortable, but not even close to the comfort of a Serta iComfort mattress. The iComfort has advanced cooling technology, plus cradling, body contouring foam. And right now, select iComfort sets are up to $600 off. Visit your local Serta retailer today and save at the Memorial Day Savings Event. Not just Serta comfortable, Serta comfortable.
Offer may vary. Visit your retailer or Serta.com for details.
The 2019 Wine Country Quilt Show and Sale is June 1st and 2nd at Veterans Memorial Auditorium in Santa Rosa. This year's show features more than 300 handmade quilts demonstrations and a vendor's market selling fabric, patterns, and sewing machines. The boutique offers handmade quilts, crafts, and gifts, and fabulous door prizes, including sewing machines. Adult admission is $12, $5 for kids, 6 to 12, and parking is free. Produced by the Moonlight Quilters of Sonoma County, visit mqsc.org for complete event details.
This is Michael O'Shea, president of Amaturo Sonoma Media Group, asking for your support for our friends, neighbors, and loved ones recovering from the recent devastating and historic flood. Please make a gift to United Way of the Wine Country's Sonoma County Flood Recovery and Wellness Fund by texting Sonoma Flood to 85511. You can also visit UnitedWayWineCountry.org or call 707-528-4485 for more information. By living united, we can help our community recover.
The family at Egan and Lance Chapel and Fred Young Funeral Home remember the heroes who have died in the line of duty serving our great country. All of us at Egan and Lance Chapel and Fred Young Funeral Home celebrate, remember, and honor you this Memorial Day weekend.
KSRO, AM, FM, and online. Depend on it.
A very good Memorial Day weekend to all out there in Radio Land. You're listening to Garden Talk at KSRO in Santa Rosa, California. Stick around, Chef John Ash in the KSRO kitchen at 11:05 today. We'll explore the beauty of Italian food with Chef Natalie Gobles from Lowell's Restaurant in Sebastopol. We'll also look into the wide, wonderful world of sausage with butcher Ryan Wren from Sonoma Meat Company and review some great fish recipes from Chef John Ash. All that coming up in the kitchen. Lori, thanks for joining us this morning on Garden Talk. What can we do for you?
Good morning. I wanted to ask Gwen about the banana peels. I was driving my car last week and I heard the tail end of a conversation with another listener and I couldn't call in, so I wanted to ask you this morning. I remember hearing before about banana peels, and I had put banana peels in various places in my yard. I kind of tucked them down inside the plant near the roots, and I see that they're all black and icky right now. So should I remove those? And did you also say last week something about planting them under the surface of the soil? I'm not sure.
I'm trying to remember. I know she had, the listener called in, she had banana peels, if she could add them to her plants, or I suggested, you know, you could just, in small pieces, like peel off the individual, you know, strips of the leaves, and you can dig a hole and just bury them. It'll just decompose like any other organic material will.
I've heard some people actually make a banana tea. They let the banana just full of water for a few days, and then they pour the tea around their plants instead of burying banana peels. That's another way of doing it.
Okay.
And or you can plant them directly in your garden. I mean, who knew that aphids hate bananas? Ooh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, but I wonder if those little fungus gnats love bananas.
Oh,
you know,
I don't know.
Leave rotting fruit and vegetables and stuff on top of the ground and it attracts those fungus gnats. Maybe that could be a problem, but I probably wouldn't leave any kind of food materials on top of the ground. I would just bury it and let it decompose and add some little microscopic amount of nutrients to the soil. But
maybe John Ash can give us a recipe for a banana vinegar.
Yeah, there you go.
But I could put these near the roots of various plants. That's a way to use them.
Well, if you want to get rid of them, put them in your compost pile if you've got one going. If not, what do you do with everything else that you have from the kitchen? You know, your apple peels and say whatever.
Well, I have animals around here that I feed them to, so.
Okay, well, you can feed them the banana peels.
Oh, that's a thought. I was trying to help my garden a little bit, so.
Oh, well, sure. You could do it 101 ways to get rid of banana peels. I throw mine to my chickens.
I've always heard them that they're good for.
Really? The chickens?
Yeah, chickens love them.
Chickens actually do sometimes.
And supposedly they're good for like poison ivy, poison oak, mosquito bites, rubbing the banana peel on your skin. Have you heard that one?
No. Well,
I don't think it's an old wives' tale. I think it does work to relieve itching.
Interesting.
Well, I don't know. John Ash is checking the facts in the background. But I really think that actually does work.
Yeah. But if you have any kind of kitchen waste, go ahead and dig a hole and bury it in the ground or give it to your chickens or put it in a compost pile, and there you go.
So, all right. Thank you very much.
Okay, Lori. Thanks for calling.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
You're welcome.
Thank you so much for the call. Oh, there we go. So now we've unearthed the whole thing about banana peels.
101 uses for banana peels.
Yeah, it's pretty remarkable, isn't it?
Who would have thought? Yeah.
Well.
Well, anything that, you know, we talk about kitchen waste, instead of throwing it out into the garbage, if you can get a compost pile, that would be great because it breaks down. And, you know, you don't want to use only kitchen waste. You have to have some dried brown material in there as well so it's not, you know, soupy and soggy and stinky and all that. But if you can't get a compost pile, then just dig a nice hole with a shovel. Dump some stuff in there and cover it up.
You could put your orange peels in there also. Those are really kind of great.
Yeah, anything.
Any of those strong citrus peels, I think, are a good deterrent.
Say anything that comes out of the ground, comes from the ground, can go back into the ground.
Well said, Gwen.
There you go.
You could put them in your compost pile too, can't you?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, make sure to cover them up because it'll attract.
And brown material. You know, remember Will Bax talked about that perfect balance between dry materials and wet materials, because you can't have a whole big glob of, you know, kitchen waste, like those peels of all kinds of stuff that you, from vegetables and fruits and stuff, because as you know, as it starts to break down, it's like, ugh. And then it attracts insects and rodents and whatnot, and it's not going to do anything. You're not going to have compost. If you're going to have a compost pile, you have to do it right, and then you get compost.
There we are. Well said. That's a perfect way to end Garden Talk with those words of wisdom, Gwen. So this afternoon is pretty exciting. This weekend you're going to unbox the blowtorch.
Mm-hmm. It's already unboxed. It's ready to go.
And go after your weeds, which is really great. And we hope we don't hear about any problems.
Scorched eyebrows.
Yes, right. you come in with your hand all bandaged up next week. Using your long-fingered gloves, of course, if you're going to be working with that blowtorch.
No. Walter's going to be doing that, me.
You should learn how to do it, too. It might be fun.
We'll
find other applications.
We'll see how dangerous it looks.
Okay. And have a good, safe, and sane Memorial Day.
You too.
And we will not see you next Saturday, I understand.
No.
You will be gone on a little jaunt, right?
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And Dave Fazio from Sonoma Mission Gardens will be filling your seat next week. So we will see you in 2 weeks.
Okay.
Coming up next in the KSRO kitchen, Chef John Ash and Chef Natalie Goples from Lowell's Restaurant of Sebastopol. This is KSRO.